Blog Talk Radio.
Why so serious?
Lawless Radio.
Why so serious?
Lawless Entertainment Radio.
Why so serious?
Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. This is Catrice, and you're listening to The Raw Deal right here on Lawless Radio. It is Thursday night, January 5th, 2012. And you know what? I'm feeling good tonight, y'all. All right, you know the deal. Make sure them kids are in the bed. Make sure you got your drink. you chilling, you taking it easy, laid back, was listening to the show. All right, y'all, you know my format. The first 30 minutes of the show, we're going to rock that music. We have to support our local come up. All right, y'all, we're looking for our independent and unsigned artists. If you're looking to have your music played on air, make sure you go to lawlessradio.com, hit that submit your music button, and follow those instructions. Make sure that your music is copyrighted. Protect your music. We do not protect your music. We just play your music for free. We don't charge you to play our music. Nothing. We just want to make sure that we get you out there. All right, y'all. This is Catrice. You're listening to The Raw Deal right here on Lawless Radio. This is you, King B, featuring Pistola. I'll be back in 30 minutes.
Ooh, oh, 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 o
I was going to play the music first 30 minutes, but you know what? I just need to say something. It is the new year. That's right. It's 2012. What are y'all going to do for the next 12 months? You basically can start over. It's like a redo. Really. So whatever you did last year, you didn't make it, you can do it this year. You can't say, oh, forget it. I ain't do it last year, so I'm not going to do it this year. But you can. You can go ahead and just do it. Make it happen. Do what you can. All right, y'all, I'm gonna be right back. This is Wetter. Matt B.
Yeah. To all my sexy ladies, you already know what it is. Matt B, Freakology. Let me show you how I do.
As I am driving through the clouds and you're dripping wet. I need
stay clean. Got an empty house in Oklahoma, case full of green. Feeling invincible, I see the TV at the airport, and then they say that they're looking for me. So I might just take a flight to Mexico, where everybody loves me and my name nobody knows. Got to keep it undercover, got my hat down low. Big shake, Beverly Hills, like everywhere I go. Through a lawyer, entertaining people looking like pros. Even though the stewardess and they probably just hold. But it's better to be tough, I gotta stay on my toes. I just made it this far, but I got a longer way to go. Can't be getting caught up, who knows when I'll be home. So tell my baby girl, be strong while I just fly.
call around 10. Yeah. Baby girl, how you been? It's been a minute since we kicked it last time. I really miss it. Miss them soft licks and kisses. Miss them off the wall positions. Miss the way you wrap them legs around me. The way you put it down got me pulling your hair. Don't even care. You're going hard. I'm going hard. We both was gasping for air. Your legs way up in the air. You like, ooh, daddy right there. The way I put this up on you, can't nobody compare. Now tell me who gon' get that sweater or hit it better. Girl, my sex game on another level. I try to tell you, but I wanna take you there with me. But notice, every time I come around, baby girl, just know I'm trying to take it down. And I can get your body calling in. Clear the way, cause head first is how I'm diving in. First, second, third shift gears. Now we out of here. Tell me where you wanna go. Baby, I can take you there. Take you to the moon. Now I can take you to my room. I can push the walls back in. Just a little deeper. Put your legs behind your head and then throw you in the sleeper. You saying that you love it. Well, come on, baby, keep up. We trying to reach our future. Sexual erotica, cause she love me all inside of her. She wanna keep it in. I'ma keep that thing looking. I'ma do her ass in. From the window to the wall. Make sure that she get it out. It feel better when she put that tiny bush against it low. From the window to the wall. Make sure that she get it out. It feel better when she put that tiny bush against it low.
Welcome back to the show. It is Thursday night and you're listening to The Raw Deal right here on Lawless Radio. I hope you got your cocktails ready and your drink. You're chilling out. Whatever you're sipping on, have a good time sipping. All right. You know it's the first Thursday of the year and I have to bring in my fellow co-host. What's going on, man? How you doing this evening?
Oh, man. Like they say in the South. Chill like a villain.
Man, I know that's right. I know that's right. So, Happy New Year to you, Buck. I know I see you every day. Probably saw you about the last 5 minutes. But, you know.
Oh, man. Happy New Year to you, too, baby.
Man, I appreciate it. So, it's been day five of the new year. And how is it so far for you?
Man, you know, I try not to be negative or anything, but Man, it's like the same shit, but a different day. But I got a better attitude about the shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how long that's going to last, but I'm trying to keep a prosperous mind, you know, with positive thoughts, and that's kind of got me through this so far. You know what I mean? So, like, I guess I can say so far, so good. So far, so good.
And you know what? That's all you can do. You know, you can't put too much pressure on yourself.
You don't want to put that down for nothing.
Exactly. You do want to kind of take it easy. Step back for a minute. Like, hey, okay, you know what? We're going to take this step by step and see what's going on. You know, my New Year started off great, you know, and then I had a little rocky road. But, you know, right now it's fabulous. You know, because I got my cocktail, I got my glass shaking, the ice is moving in the glass. I'm feeling real good right about now.
Yeah, you are probably about two behind me, I think, yeah.
Oh, two behind? Oh, wow, yeah, I need to catch up.
Yeah, time to play catch up.
I need to catch up. I'm sitting here chilling, and you rocking it out.
Yeah, I'm kind of screaming, fuck the world right about now.
I feel you. Well, you know, I wanted to do something different this year, and my plans for the Raw Deal is to have different guest speakers, and then also, I had to work around different folks, you know, to get on the show and just make sure that, you know, we respect the mute button and all that, and then I want to give you, Buck, you know, your time, give you the floor whenever you're ready, you know.
Really?
I'm sorry?
I said, oh, really?
Oh, really? Yeah. So, you know, you can have your own special little segment, you know, bucking off. What does Buck have on his mind? And, you know, you're freely to speak on that.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is pretty cool because something is on my mind.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This goes out to everybody who has children or kids or what have you. I mean, regardless of if they are your flesh and blood or some kids adopted, you know, from a third world country or something, they're yours. You don't want to take care of them. You don't want to feed them and dressing them and all that. That's considered your child, you know. And the one thing that's kind of on my mind, and this kind of strings off something that you and I, Catrice, spoke on earlier, you know. Okay, first off, I love my children. I love my children more than I love any of my other family members. I mean, and everybody in my family feels the same way about their children, you know. And sometimes I love my kids more than I love myself, you know. There's a reason why Catrice and I aren't rimmed up. We not furred up. You know what I'm saying? We not chained up in platinum and all that shit. It's because, you know, we have children. You know, we have to take care of these kids. We have to put ourselves last on certain occasions. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But this is mostly about those who want to give their kids. Yeah, okay, I want my kids to have more than what I had.
Mm.
Well, what the fuck? What did you have? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Were you prone to Jimmy Carter Christmases?
Mm.
And for those who don't know, when Jimmy Carter was a little boy and they had Christmas in the Jimmy Carter home, they got books and apples and nuts and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But none of some Christmas is that. So is that what you're saying? I mean, is that what you mean? Like you want your kids to have more than you? You know what I mean? I mean, I didn't have a lot of shit in my damn self, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I wasn't that fucked up as to where I got books.
Right.
Christmas. Socks,
right.
Draws, T-shirt, you know, scarves, you know, that's cool, you know what I'm saying? That's to be expected. But books
right.
and nuts, that you got to.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I know exactly what you're saying. I do. I know exactly what you're saying. It's like, you know, people, they trying to keep up with them. And you know how people go for broke trying to get their kids all these gifts and stuff for Christmas?
Fuck that. fuck that. And this is true. Truth be told, she's, you know, yeah, she's probably of age now. She may be listening. But I have an 18-year-old daughter. And for Christmas, she wanted an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker costs $225 You know what I'm saying? When did she get her iPod? She didn't get it on Christmas Day.
Mm-mm.
She didn't get it on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't get it for Martin Luther King or motherfucking Valentine's Day. She got that motherfucker in the summertime. when it was profitable for daddy to get it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You know, I wasn't going to go for broke for this motherfucker to be riding, walking around listening to a $225 piece of musical entertainment equipment. I didn't have shit like that. You know what I'm saying? The greatest thing I had was a motherfucking Atari 2600. Not the 5200.
You had a 2600.
The first one.
The first
and
one,
you know,
yeah.
And I was watching it on what?
I want to say a nine inch
black and white television.
Right.
The family TV. The TV that stayed in the front room, not in my own personal bedroom.
Right.
But in the front room, it was a family TV.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Black and white. Yeah.
Right. Kids
you
got
know.
TVs in their room. They want flat screens.
No. Fuck that. I didn't have that. So I'm not about to. Go out of my way and fuck up a payment of aftercare or light bill, and I'm sorry, cable bill. Sorry, we didn't have back then. We got another cable bill. You know, just to appease this person, this, my child.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes. True enough. Yeah, my child is good. You know, my children are fine. You know, they have B plus, B minus averages. That's great. Daddy had that. But as far as going out and getting all that shit like that, and then you get all this shit like this, and then your child turns around at a later date in life and a later age and says, fuck you, daddy. Whoa. Wait a minute. Am I hearing this right? I done did all this shit, and you turn around and want to disrespect me like that? No, because we're not going that route.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going that route. So if my child has, let's say this is 2012, and they have a ColecoVision, you see what I'm saying, and they are happy with it, and if I get a fuck you daddy, okay, that's to be expected. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's 2012. You're playing with a Coleco 7800. You know what I mean? Everybody else got, I mean, way past 32 or 64 bits. I don't know if anybody can remember that shit. But, I mean, that's what they expected. But my whole point is I ain't got time for that shit about, you know, giving my child more than what I had. You know what I'm saying? Because what I didn't have, it built me to be the person I am. I have structure. It gave me structure. And I think that's a problem now. I have motherfucking structure now.
Right.
They don't have structure. I'm not saying all the Y2K shit that they have in their room and shit is bad or nothing like that. I mean, that's to be expected. I mean, there's the times we live in. But a motherfucking child needs structure. They need structure. I hope like hell I don't need to define what I'm saying, structure. I hope you understand what the fuck I'm saying.
Break it down. Back in the day, in the 70s and the 80s, in the early 90s, what is defined as structure in the house?
To me, it's not having shit at your every beck and call. It's going out, getting it, earning it, you know, providing it for yourself. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm referring to as structure. You know, when I was let's say what, from 16 to 18, I was drunk and high as shit. I mean just drinking that Canadian Mist, the Canadian Club. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? I didn't get the money from my mother, my parents, or anything like that. I went out and I got it for myself. Not illegally. I earned it. You see what I'm saying? I earned that intoxication from the Canadian Deluxe and Reserve and the Mist and all that. I earned that shit, and that's what I consider structure. The shit you earn, the shit you provide yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by structure. That's
mm-hmm.
the structure I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there's a lot of kids don't have that because they, you know, they go to their parents and they say, can I have? And the parents just give, like, okay, here you go, without any.
Oh, no, piss on that. Because we miss a lot of pizza and ice cream days at the school.
Yeah.
Because mom and daddy don't have. Now, if
that's
you
right.
want to go out and make that shit like I did, selling my lunch, selling my breakfast that my parents made for me in the morning, and I made at least a good $12 a day just by hustling. You know what I'm saying? That shit just came to me. That shit just came to me, man. You know what I'm saying?
So you were hustling at an early age.
Damn right, because I wanted it. I was building structure for myself.
Okay.
There we go. Damn scary.
Man, I feel you. You know, Buck, I got this book. It was a little audio book I've been listening to the last few days, and it's kind of interesting. It's called The Compound Effect. The Compound Effect.
Okay.
And basically what it is that it's almost like The Secret. Because I know you heard of The Secret. So
okay.
it's almost like The Secret, but the way he go about it is like you have to see exactly what it is that you're doing in order for you to fix what the situation is. Okay? So like in this first series, I haven't listened to the whole series, but basically in this first series, what he tells you to do for like a whole week is to write down a bad habit that you have and write down everything you do for that bad habit. So, you know, if you have a bad habit managing your money, for a whole week, you write down everything that you spend, every penny you spend for a whole week, and write it down and where you spend it and where and what you spend it on. So you write it down for a whole week so you can see exactly what it is that where your money is going.
You know,
okay?
that sounds like something that would be encouraging for a smoker who's trying to quit smoking, for them to actually sit back and count how many packs of cigarettes they go through and multiply that by how much they cost and how much it costs a year. But I had a sister who did that. And, I have a sister who did that. And she quit smoking like cold turkey. I mean, fresh off the bat. You know,
that's what made her quit smoking when she sat down and figured that out?
That's what made my sister Cassandra quit smoking when she figured out how much she spends on cigarettes on a yearly basis. After that, she quit smoking. I mean, cold turkey. Just cold turkey. I mean, she does smoke weed now, but she doesn't she doesn't smoke cigarettes anymore. So, you know, I take my hat off to her for that. But speaking on what you were just talking about, there was a cat that had approached me. I'm going to say Mr. Jones. It's not the black Mr. Jones. It's the white Mr. Jones. I don't know if it really matters or not. But he came to me one day and he said, Mars, Buck, do you understand, do you know what the definition of insanity is? So I'm like, damn, I'm going back to the Webster's and all that, you know. But he broke it down to me differently. He said the definition of insanity is the repetition of an act, and you still get the same failing result of that act. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. Okay, the repetition of an act, but you get the same
and you still get the same failure result from that act. Like, okay, let's say you keep using. Okay, no, I'm gonna break it down on a common level. Let's say you are using one ply toilet paper.
Okay.
And your finger keeps breaking through the toilet paper. every time. But you keep using this motherfucking one ply toilet paper, and your finger keeps breaking through every time. That's insanity.
That's insanity.
To break that insanity, you go and you buy you some plush two ply. Your finger doesn't break through anymore. So therefore, the insanity is gone. It's obsolete.
Okay. So
you follow me?
I follow you. Okay. So in instance of you keep going to a job that you hate.
Yeah. Every day.
Every day.
And you still get the same result. Of loathing and of discomfort and just unhappiness.
Right.
But you keep going every day.
Right.
That is the definition of insanity. You're repetitious with this, and you keep getting the same failure results from this act.
Okay.
That's insanity. That is insanity.
But you know what? That's a good analogy. Now, I'm be thinking about that. I said, man, you keep doing the same shit every day.
Yeah.
You're going to get
yeah.
the same shit
every yeah. day. The same negative results.
So,
Each and every time.
You go
to the horse track, you know, and you gamble, and you're losing. Right. Insanity. There you go.
Right. Absolutely. Nobody
can dispute that.
No, you're right. When I was listening to it, I had to keep going back and forth. Because, you know, in the book, he was making this example about how, you know, there was like three different friends. You know, one friend was married. All of them was married. And then one decided he just wasn't going to eat any more snacks. And then one decided he was going to buy a big screen TV and drink a beer a night, and then the other one decided that all he was going to do is just jog, and everybody had the same type of job, same, you know, marriage, the years that they've been married, but everybody's story was different because they did something totally different to change their life. And so what made me really think about it, I'm like, wow, okay, the compound effect is like whatever you do ultimately affects everything. So it's like, you know, if you make a decision, whatever decision you make, you have to make sure that you make that decision and either you're going to live with it or you're just going to wait and see what the effects, the negative or positive effects, are going to be from it. So, I thought that was an interesting book. I haven't finished reading it, so I probably learned a little bit more from it, but I thought from what I've read so far or heard, because it's an audio book, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, you need to listen to more of that.
Right. So Buck, to your little topic. So are you saying that your kids don't get everything that they want?
No, they do not. Hell, I didn't get everything I wanted. I remember. I remember being somewhere between 7 and 9 years old, and I went to sit on Santa Claus's lap. This was, oh my God, well, Scottsdale. Man, I don't even know if anybody remembers that. Scottsdale was a shopping plaza over on, oh my goodness, I want to say 79th or 69th of Cicero. It's long gone now, but they had a little Santa Claus picture thing up there. And I went and I sat on his lap, and he said, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, and my mother was standing right there, so she heard every goddamn thing. I said, the only thing I want for Christmas is a Starsky and Hutch remote control car.
Mm.
I did not get my Starsky and Hutch remote control car.
Mm.
So that gave me structure because I said, well, you know what? Evidently, I got to go get this motherfucker on my own. I got to get him home. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to get it on my own at that time. But as I grew, my willingness or willpower, mental strength, I went and I got me an equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a Knight Rider Industry 2000 remote control car with the flashing light that goes across the front of the hood and all that shit. I bought that with my own money.
With your own money.
That's right. I built my structure off of that. There you go. There you go. I went all the way back with it.
We got a call on the line. This is Catrice. This is 4980. Oh, what's up? How you doing? What's going on, Zeke?
Oh, what's happening? What's happening?
Well,
shit, I ain't know my own fucking phone number.
Yeah.
What's going on? What y'all talking about?
Man, we're talking about kids having some structure in their lives. You know?
Oh,
you know,
shit, ain't no structure when the mama and daddy ain't got none.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. I don't need to say no more.
How the mama going to tell the son to put his pants up from sagging her titties and ass hanging out, too?
See that?
Man.
See that?
Man.
So all that starts at home.
All that starts at home. That's right. All of it.
When I was growing up, you got your ass whooped by everybody on the block till you got home. And then you're going to get a worse one for that.
Man, with you, see? I grew up in an era where you had to go outside and get your own damn switch off the tree.
We ain't get what was switch. We got what with whatever was by her hand. A pot, a plug. Now, we got what with them plunger sticks. We could never keep a plunger stick. We'll have them mug. You know how you twist that plunger stick off? She'd be like, go get that plunger stick. We be had them plunger sticks. We had a bunch of plungers, but no sticks.
What I was really talking about, and that's all part of it, was how motherfuckers, you know, with kids, they're like, I want my kids to have more than what I had. I want them to have it better than what I had. Well, I mean, why are you going to put yourself out of house and home for some shit like that? And then the hurting part is that they fuck around, turn around, and say, well, fuck you, mama, or fuck you, daddy, to your face. You know what I'm saying?
All the time. They don't have, mm-hmm. man, these motherfuckers, whatever this, I tell them like this. If you got a kid, and the kid say, tell the mama, fuck you, bitch, fuck you, I ain't doing this, I ain't doing that, you know, it's the mama part.
Yes.
It ain't the kid part, it's the motherfucking mama part.
Yes.
Because whatever you did wrong to start this kid from cussing you out and disrespecting you, that's your part.
Or letting somebody disrespect her in front of him or the child.
I don't care if her man whooped her ass, cussed her out, called all kinds of stank faces. What that got to do with that kid? You can nip that shit in the bud real early.
You can.
Real early. But when they don't get no respect, they do whatever they want. Fuck you, I ain't got to do nothing. Shut the fuck up. I ain't saying... I wish one of my kids would tell me that. They going to see their ass on a milk carton.
Man. Come on, listen. Hold tight. We got a 861-0708. What's going on? This is Rod D. Who's this?
You know what I'm saying? Because those two guys.
Uh-oh, you got to turn that. Uh-oh, hold on. We're going to bring them back because they're still listening to the computer. What's up, Aunt? How you doing?
I'm all right. What's good? How y'all feeling then? What up, Buck?
We're good.
I'm going through that same situation, man. Check this out. That's my baby mama's thing. I want my daughter to have everything I didn't have. But here's the problem. What you didn't have that was most important was a stable home and two parents. your daughter has a stable home and two parents. All that other shit is irrelevant. What she should be doing for us is what we telling her to do. Bring home good grades, clean up your room, do your chores, whatever, whatever. Everything after that is irrelevant. Man, my shorty starting to think only thing that's important is Jordans and sew-ins. Kill that shit. That ain't good. That's not good parenting. You know what I'm saying? That's some bullshit right there. So
maybe, see, people go out their way to try to please these kids. The kids should be trying to please the goddamn mom and dad.
To please the parents.
They don't understand that if a kid act like they got some sense, then the mom and daddy ain't got no problem with buying this shit.
Right.
Because you don't have no excuse to say, well, I ain't going to do it. Either you ain't got no money, but if you get it and they ask for something, they be so damn good, you be happy to buy it for them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And these kids don't understand. All they got to do is act like they got some sense.
Right.
And they get whatever they want.
Exactly.
But they so fucking stupid, they think that these rappers is the life. That shit is all camouflage. It's all make-believe. People don't really live like that.
Exactly. Yeah, I love rap. That's some bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
They look at these reality shows and think that's real life. That shit ain't real.
Hey, Tasha living an MTV. I think she about to live an MTV lifestyle. Bitch, your money run out. Kill that shit.
Man, hey Buck, what was that rapper that had the studio in the middle of the hood?
Young Jock.
Young Jock. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he had. Young Jock had a crib in DeKalb County, man. It was a studio, and it was like, the outside looked like a dilapidated one bedroom. The yard wasn't cut or none of that shit like that. It was straight up low ass key. But somebody knew what the fuck was going on. They broke into shit, took all his motherfucking flat screens, mixers, took his goddamn hard drive with all his collaborations and shit on it. What's your point, Patrice?
Right.
It was one of his boys did that shit.
Right. But what I'm saying is when you mention the rappers, everybody think it's like, you know, everything's all flashy, but they living as low key as possible, you know, to try to save as much money as they can. But a lot of these kids out here, they just see the glamour of it all. They don't, you know, they don't know it takes some work to get where
they just see them videos. Them niggas be broke as hell.
Hell yeah!
That's what I told my 18-year-old. You know, she looking at this and looking at that and this motherfucker in a Bentley and all this that and the other. Okay, yeah, he is in a Bentley, but how did he get the Bentley from your motherfucking money? Fuck that! No, they rent that shit, man.
Okay.
Fuck that.
Rent a Bentley for a day.
Mm-mm.
$5,000 for a day.
Yep.
That's it.
Hey, here go one for y'all. Tasha wanted to take Tay to Paris for her 16th birthday. She had the audacity, the nerve, the kahunas, the fat quit to tell me that I start need to give her money to equal up to like $3,000 so she can go.
Wait a minute. $3,000. It does not cost that much motherfucking money to go to Paris, Tennessee. So that's as far as close as Paris you don't motherfucking get to if I'm your motherfucking dead. Simple as that. It don't cost that much to go to Paris, Tennessee. It does not cost that much.
Hey kid, this is what I told her. Hold on, I'll call you back. She's still waiting on that conversation.
Does your daughter have a passport?
They trying to get one, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Hold on, so you got to understand that your child needs, you need to give permission. If your child's under 18, you need to give permission for your child to leave the country.
Right. So, I know that.
So, because you can just stop that. You can just cut that right on off.
No, believe me, he going to know another whole conversation. Like I told her and her nigga. Y'all had a audacity to call me to tell me to add on money on something y'all thought about. You know what I'm saying? I ain't even that type of angry nigga. If y'all thought of it and y'all want to take her, y'all take her. You know what I'm saying? But for y'all to call me and ask me to add in onto y'all plan, y'all stupid than a motherfucker. Me and my mama going to take her to Disney World for her 16th birthday. I bet she appreciate just that as much as y'all, as you think she's going to appreciate Paris. Tay ain't never said nothing about Paris before in her life. You know what I'm saying? Now all of a sudden, y'all want to take it up. I'm trying to ask this bitch,
damn,
what have she done to deserve to go to Paris? She ain't even finished her freshman year in high school. You know what I'm saying? You trying to send her to Paris. You know what I'm saying? Let's see what type of grades we get out this motherfucker before we try to provide an MTV Sweet 16 birthday for this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Man.
Yeah.
I'm going through some shit. You know what I'm saying? This past Christmas, man, was crazy, man. Tay was supposed to have been, I don't mean to fuck up your show, but
no, I was calling and listening in. We talking about kids.
Right. I was calling and listening in, and y'all hit off a point. I'm like, number one, you know, let me in on this motherfucker. But listen, Tay pulled some bullshit, you know what I'm saying, prior to her 15th birthday. You know her birthday, December 20th, Christmas right around the corner, whatever. But this all about our show. So, you know what I'm saying, Tasha called me crying, talking all this shit, cussing Tay out. You know what I'm saying, this motherfucker this. He even called her a bitch. You know what I'm saying, did this, and did that. You know what I'm saying, now, I'm tired of talking to Tay. I figure if I done told you this two, three times, you disrespecting me. You not paying attention to what I'm telling you. It's going in one ear and out the other. Now, y'all know me as a father. Tayna got everything she wanted for her motherfucking Christmas, her birthdays, for every motherfucking 14 year of her life. 1 year of not giving her nothing would not affect this child's memory, would not affect this child's life. I told this bro, look, don't give her shit for Christmas. Don't give her shit for her birthday. You know, she got to stand up to the consequences. You know, as a parent, if we telling you don't do something and you do it, you got to realize there's consequences. You know what I'm saying? That's just life, period. That's structure. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Do you know this motherfucker went out and gave her a Christmas like she bring home nothing? Like she bring home nothing but A's. Fuck B's. Like she bring nothing home but A's. Like when you tell her to go take out the garbage, go wash the dishes, it's like, she act like she don't have to tell her that. You see what I'm saying? And so I told her don't do none of this. I called Tay and I was like, okay, I'm going to give you a minute. I was like, Tay, so what did your mama buy you for Christmas? Knowing that the bitch didn't broke her promise. This motherfucker didn't bought her black diamonds, Invista watches, you know what I'm saying, some little new style, little phone, a little camera that hangs off your key ring and all this and that. I looked at Tay, I was like, Tay, you know what? You're going to grow up thinking what me and your mama telling you is a joke. You know what I'm saying? Because your mama don't stick to shit she tell you she gonna do. She get tired of looking at you sitting in that room, and she be like, okay. You know what I'm saying? She too busy trying to be your friend or your auntie instead of trying to be your mama. You see what I'm saying? I told Tay, I ain't going. You get shit from me. I don't give a fuck what you looking for. I ain't giving you nothing. Because you don't listen to me. You didn't defy me 3-4 times or whatever. And it's off the same shit. I was like, okay. Play that role.
All right,
I got my anger out. Y'all go ahead.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Let's get back now. You say she got black dot. How old is she?
Tate fucking 15. Now, her mama done found her a rich motherfucker. You see what I'm saying? Motherfucker got some papers. They both then fell off a ladder or whatever, and got settlements. You know what I'm saying? Okay. How long is that money going to last? And better yet, why are you, instead of trying to show your daughter that it's more than life than falling off a ladder or the depending on another nigga, I'm trying to teach my daughter, a nigga want a smart woman. A real nigga want a smart woman that got a little on, that show that she bringing something to the motherfucking table. A nigga don't want no woman that only thinks she got a big ass. And, I mean, we want it, but how much do we actually respect it? You know what I'm saying? You got some good pussy and you cute. Well, there's 30 other motherfucking million motherfuckers out here for me to run into that got the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Why isn't it that you're not trying to teach this motherfucker to be about your own, establish your own? I'm trying to tell Tay, you got plenty of time for niggas. You know what I'm saying? Establish. It's, you know, I'm using my life as an example. Tay, why do you want to be struggling? Why do you want to be in your 30s, 35s, you know, doing all this? You know what I'm saying? Instead of being in your early 20s, you know, getting you a good education, establishing, you know, I'm like, I know motherfuckers in their 20s with houses. You know, two fucking cars that's paid for. Why you don't want to be like that? You know what I'm saying? But see, her mama's showing her the other picture. I'm trying to tell her. You know what? Check this out. It's going to be on you, shorty. If she walking up in that crib and telling you she pregnant, whatever, that's what you showed her. You know what I'm saying? Right. You the motherfucker going to be sitting there crying, because I'm not going to be crying, because I'm going to be like, hey, you didn't want to listen to me. I tried my best to tell you I'm a dude. I'm trying to tell you the real.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I ain't lying or joking to you. I was a little motherfucker chasing these little other motherfuckers, you know, knowing that the shorty ain't got to come to my crib if something went wrong. Let's be real. So,
yeah, my prediction for that is somebody's going to take a hard fall. I mean, a real hard fall. Whether it's the child or the parent. I mean, preferably, I prefer to be the child so they can learn off this shit. Man, I fucked up. You know what I'm saying? But somebody's going to take a hard fall of that.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah, get used to it. That, you know, the green is not as greener as they say on the other side.
Exactly.
Basically. What's going on, Miss Sippy Red? How you doing this evening?
Along with Nikki, I'm doing fine. How you doing? How you doing, Doctor?
What's going on, Nikki? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good.
Okay,
good.
What's up, Miss Sippy Red?
Of course,
I'm sorry, but I just like to hear Nikki's voice, man. I just
say something else, Nikki. Say something to him.
God damn, what you up, man? God damn.
That's what I'm about to ask.
We got a Murray Bowman on the
goddamn line here.
Say something, Nikki.
Nikki, give them your love. How you doing this year, Nikki?
I'm doing pretty good, and yourself?
Wonderful, wonderful. It is day 5 of the new year, and we are talking about children having some type of structure in their lives. So what's your opinion on children having structure? You have some kids?
No, I do not.
See,
okay,
well,
she's good for you.
Good for you. Congratulations.
She would have had one by me had she not pulled back. We're not going there. Okay, everybody, I understand that. Listen to this. Okay, Dr. Passion.
What's going on?
How about this? For, you know, we had your last show last week, and, you know, you were thankful for finally meeting a fan. Okay, which was me in ATL, Jackson Airport, ATL. What they call it?
Okay, what's your point?
In all seriousness, is everybody getting ready for the tax season love? We know what that's all about.
Man, of course,
right.
You know, folks prepare
right.
for that tax season like it ain't nothing.
Right.
Like
right.
it ain't nothing. That tax
season. Right, right, right.
They done took their last check
stub
to H&R Block already.
And you know what? You know I'm finna do with my tax money.
What you gonna do with it?
I ain't finna give it to Nikki.
Yes, you is. I always give it.
Bitch line.
There you go, girl.
Go ahead.
Nah.
Yeah.
That's what we call tax love.
Like the fuck, man.
What's wrong? What?
Why are you gonna get her your money? What? It's bad what enough you're all in her ass. Now you finna give her your money?
Oh, my goodness.
No, dude, you need to.
Man, okay, look, we ain't gonna stop.
That's what she. That's what she want me to do.
That's what she wants you to do.
That's what she want me to do.
Hey, well, you know, my baby mama want me to kill myself. What you think I'm finna do?
Yeah. You can't enjoy doing stuff like that. So when you enjoy doing something, you know, you really can't say too much about it.
Wow. Hey,
like
I'm done. I'm done. Dr. Pash.
What's going on, Mr. What's going on?
What pussy boots at?
Why? What's going on?
I don't want, you know what?
What do you have to say? Because I'm not. We're not gonna go through that this evening. But Buck kind of touched on our topic for the evening. And that's what we're speaking on. So
okay,
we were talking about children that have some sense of, you know, acting like, you know, they have to. A lot of people think that they have to do better for their kids than what they got. You know. And children,
you know what? Yeah, I would love to hear Mississippi's opinion on that, especially in his profession. So I know you got
being a school teacher. Being a school teacher. Okay,
yeah,
I will tell y'all this. Our first 5 days in 2012 in Milwaukee, we've already had 5 young people killed.
Dang.
Homicide. And Nikki knew what I'm talking about because in the newspaper every day. And we're talking about why are so many young people getting killed? Is it because of what they want to do or because of their parents? Because me and Nikki have great parents. Her mother is a preacher. She's a minister.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot the way she talks, a lot of people won't believe it. But she is. Her mother is a minister. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? She's an evangelist, and I grew up in church also as a child, you know, so growing up in church, having so many great parents, I had both my parents in my life, and
mm-hmm.
I would never in my life, I could never foresee myself as a child killing another child or being a child dead, you
mm-hmm.
know, I've been working since I was 14 years old, but for some reason, a lot of these kids are coming up in an age where they do not feel like getting a 9-to-5 will be enough money for them. They feel like they need to hold the block down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's where this. That's when I first read that this morning before I went to work. That hit me hard. Because
so what about the kids? What about the kids in your classroom? In your classroom, do most of them have some type of structure in their lives?
I told you know what one told me a couple years ago. He straight up told me that school wasn't for him. And then I had another one that told me that. Listen, I had another one that told me that he only come to school to smoke weed, fuck with hoes, and go through niggas' pockets. And then I had another student tell me a couple years ago, say he told me this straight up. He said, time is money, and school takes up time.
Time is money, and school takes up time. All
time
right.
is money, and school takes up time.
Ooh, all right. Alright, with that note, y'all hold tight. This is Diamond and Cheddar by King B. Hold tight, y'all. Be right back.
So so living in brand
up. I'm talking about way too bad. Living life for the hustle, trying to chase this cash. Now look, my mama, I'm telling you, she ain't raised no fool. But if you look at my surroundings, it's like the thing to do. You got dope being sold, pimps beating hoes. Give a J a slap, just a ride, here we go. Now you think it's big shit when you ride with your folks. To the J, smoke the dope and report it to Costos. Now you're locked up and your record is unfolding. Seen a better path, but the journey was so lonely. In the world where the wicked is lost were my homies, and we all trying to get it. So we say that in a minute, by any means necessary, I was taught to get it. Maybe chasing this cash, it was killing my spirit. I won't. Just some of the things that I did love. I thought the way to go about it was a slang drug. Cream, get the money, dollar, dollar bill, y'all. My role models was Scarface and Nino Brown. I'm on top of the world, ma. Look at me now. Standing on the sofa, trying to think of how I could put her in that big house and make her proud. But your boy did the opposite and jumped out wild. Not a doctor, not a lawyer, but a D-boy wild. I bet my mama probably thinking, did I raise that child? In the streets with the heat, shouted, look out now. Feeling bad ass. Chasing this child, Cheddar and mozzarella got me thinking that I'm better. If I'm riding old leather and wood in my hood, pockets they stay late, fighting to get the cake. I won't.
Over, we who they supposed to be. We the future stars. next big thing. Made them has-beens hanging on a string. And I ain't talking about loose ends. I just wanna live, let me get my 2 cents. I'm a wildebeest with a will to eat. I'd rather be laid up with a million freaks. Get in my back rub, in the jacuzzi, I'm too big for the bathtub. Lil mama, all I wanna do is have fun. And let me see you clap, come on. Sunglasses at nighttime. I said, well, baby, because I'm a motherfucking rock star. Does that answer your question?
Welcome back, welcome back. This is Katrice. You're listening to The Raw Deal right here on Lawless Radio. All right, we have about 30 minutes or about 35 minutes left of the show. And we're just having some general conversation, some good conversation for the first show of the new year. Happy 2012, everybody. It's a new year. We have to do what we can to make it right. Don't let nobody piss you off. Don't let nobody piss on your parade. Just say, you know what? Fuck you. Go on about your business. Do what you do. It just don't make no sense to really get all worked up. Stay as positive as possible. Is it possible to stay positive? What can you do? All right, we got Buck here on the line. We got Zeke out there, and we got Ant out there, y'all. All right, so Ant, you feel better now? Do you feel good that you were able to release that this evening?
Oh, yeah. I'm just trying not to throw my hands up, you know what I'm saying, because that's almost the position they putting me in, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's me and you that need to be making this judgments on this child, not you and money. You know what
man,
I'm saying?
You know what though? The thing is, they always say that a child will see who's the sensible one later. It doesn't have to happen right now, but they will eventually see who makes the most sense. And say, okay,
I can testify to that.
I mean, they will realize that. You may think you be going 30, you know, you may think she 14 years old, she thinking, okay, this is a glamorous life. But wait until they get like, you know, 17, 18, and they really start seeing the true colors when they have gotten beyond smelling themselves and getting the attitudes and realizing that they're about to be on their own.
Right.
That's when reality.
Did you say smelling themselves?
Yeah.
That's the saying.
That's a Chicago saying. Yeah, that's a Chicago saying.
You start to smell yourself, and you start to act like you ain't got no sense.
Okay.
And then, it ain't no West Side shit. Stop trying to pinpoint what it is. Stop hating on the West Side. That's why you got this West Side girl. You better be happy, nigga.
He's converted now.
Man, I'm just saying. You know, they start acting crazy. That's the stages they go in. You know, they start acting crazy. They get a little funky ass attitude, and then they realize they gonna need some money. Like, man, it costs a lot of money to have this lifestyle because you know what, mama money ain't gonna last very long.
Like I said, I got my topic from a conversation that you and I had earlier. What it was, my 8-year-old, he had made some Kool-Aid, you know. So I thought he made it, you know, like his mom and dad used to make it with 3 pounds of sugar, you know. But she was like, no, I didn't want him to have that. He made Crystal Light. Crystal Light? What the fuck?
No.
Wait a minute.
If you want to get down and deep down and dirty with it, I didn't feel like letting the little boy mess over my sugar.
No, please. You'll mess up your grandmama, sugar.
Easy, right? Sugar ain't cheap. I went the easy route, and I knew it was simple.
I didn't want to have that.
Here, look, boy.
You had it. That's what, okay, here we go. That kids should have better than what you had. So that's actually where my topic sprung from today.
Kids have better, but you know what? They drinking it. That's my point. You going to drink it. If you that thirsty, you gonna drink it.
Yeah, if you that damn thirsty, you damn right, yeah. Shit. Fuck it, this is all I got. Fuck. Hey, here go a lesson for you. One day I was a baby. I'm not a baby. I was probably a little man age. Mm-hmm. My granny told me don't put no more sugar on the cornflakes. You know what I'm saying? We had some regular old cornflakes, not frosted flakes, cornflakes.
So yeah, so, I know what you're talking about.
Soon as she turned her back, I grabbed what I thought was sugar and poured it onto the cornflakes. Not only did I pour too much, but the top came off. It was soft. It was soft.
She made you eat that shit. She made you eat that shit, didn't she?
She made me eat some of that shit. I was like, I ain't going to eat this salt. Why would you do me like this? She was like, no. If you would have listened to me when I told your ass you didn't need no more on there, we wouldn't be in this situation.
We talked about this.
Right. See? Little shit like that, man, you got to think about it. That little shit like that, it helps you with life. You know what I'm saying? So,
structure.
Man.
Structure. There you go, structures. Structure.
Right.
The things you learn from your parents are the things possibly that you would need in life later.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they ain't crazy. Now, if you got some crazy ass parents, you fucked up. I mean, especially if both of them crazy. And both of them just crazy and stupid. Yeah, you just got some issues.
Mm-hmm.
some serious issues.
Yeah, fortunately, my kids only have one crazy parent, so it's all good.
I wonder which one is the crazy one. Whew. All right, we're going to bring back Mississippi Red here. What's going on, Mississippi Red? What you got to say this evening?
Okay. I missed you while you was gone.
We had a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you have older folks telling you that, telling the kids, y'all don't believe the fat niggas greased.
I ain't heard that in a good little while.
Man, I ain't heard that in a minute.
What'd he say?
You don't believe
fat
meat greasing?
If you don't believe
it, yeah, right.
Right. Because my grandpa on my daddy's side, he told me that all the time. Be your hock still. He told me that.
Mm.
That meant stay still. Be still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when he said be your hock still,
mm-hmm.
you don't believe the fat meat is greasing. That's a Mississippi saying. That came from Mississippi. That ain't from Chicago. That came from Mississippi. You know, so.
See.
And it's the truth. It's the truth.
So tell me how did you grow up, Mississippi Red? I would like to know, did you grow up with some structure?
Of course, both my parents.
Both
my daddy was born in Mississippi. My mama was born here, but her mama was born in Mississippi, so they grew up with structure.
So what was your discipline? What was your family's discipline in the house?
Get my ass whooped. Teacher called and said I fucked up. I knew I would. Let me tell you something. Every time I knew I messed, I'm like, damn, I know I messed up because I only live 4 blocks from my house, from my school. And I knew my mama worked late, and I was just trying to sneak into the house and go into my bedroom to pretend like I was asleep. But as soon as she got the message that my teacher called her, she was like, Kevin, what you think you're doing? You think you're going to sleep? I thought, I said, I'm already asleep. He's like, no, you ain't. I'm going to beat your ass up with that bell.
Mm-hmm.
And I wake right the fuck up and start crying and shit. I was like, oh, shit. Here she come. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Come. Did I? I think that's how I got my laugh like that with the count because I kept crying like I was like,
All right. Wow. Wow.
Let me say something, Dr.
Yeah,
Passion.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for the prayers and, you know, the well wishes. You know, my stepdaddy's out of ICU. So.
All right. That is a blessing.
Yeah, that's good news.
Very good.
It is.
Very good. That's what's up. All right, now, so, Aunt, tell me, what was your type of discipline in your house?
Well, you know what? My granny was a great disciplinary. It was more that it was like this. You knew how hard she worked, and you more than really want to disappoint her. It was like I'm my mama's child, but my granny was, you know, the one who raised me. But it was like we really paid attention to what was going on. We knew we lived in the projects. We knew she was the only one, the breadwinner. So we weren't really trying to do nothing to really disappoint her too much. You knew you was getting your ass whooped because my granny put them up. She would box with her boys, you know what I'm saying? I remember one day I spit in the hallway, and before I can turn my face back from the spit, she slapped the shit out of me.
I'm like,
what the fuck I just do? Nigga, no. You know, this is where we live, you know. I'm like, we live in apartment 9. We outside in the hallway. No, motherfucker, we live on the ninth floor. Why is he spitting? You know, so it was more, I was more worried than to disappoint my granny. And I'm going to say this. If niggas thought like this, here's one thing. I saw a lot of death. When I was a shorty, you know, I seen my uncle lose his best friend. I seen the lady, a husband, push his wife out the window. I seen the gang leaders killed and all that. One thing I never wanted was to have my mother and my grandmother in the front row of my funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't see myself doing that to them just to be a gangbanger. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know a lot of drug dealers. I probably could have been even being successful because I know two or three successful ones. You know what I'm saying? I could have kicked it with them. Them was my boys. But just the point of the fact of getting caught up, my granny in the front row of the courtroom, my granny in the front row of the funeral, you know what I'm saying? I'm cool with the path I went through, you know what I'm saying? Even bitching about my baby mama, whatever, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't trip too much. You know, if money was meant to me, it'd come to me. You know what I'm saying? So, fuck it.
Hey, you know that's.
You know.
I understand what you mean.
You know, me and Slav come back some ways. You know, so you know he done shared stories with me. You know about you know him. Him and his family and his granny and shit. And you know, I'm gonna be honest. I was, man, this is one woman I do not want a motherfucker to meet. I was scared as hell if I was after meet this woman there. So he kind of was scared of shit. I knew his grandma, man.
Hey,
but my eye awakening moment as far as what built my structure was, you know, my mom used to always tell me, you know, you out there in the street, you know, and everything you do, it don't represent you. It represents me, and that's what she would say. You know what I'm saying? So if you out there fucking up, it's looking bad, not just on you, but more so on me. And I understand that now. And I remember the worst thing I think I ever did as a child, and like I said, as a child, was playing with fire, and I had caught my sister's bed on fire, And I panicked and shit, and I just grabbed something and put the fire out. You know, unfortunately, it was a brand new ass motherfucking girdle. My mom had just bought the motherfucker. It still had the fucking price tag on it and all that shit at the store. So I got an ass beating out of this fucking world. My daddy had just bought me this brand new motherfucking belt. It was like wide as shit. It wasn't made of leather. It was made of straight up cow ass. You know, it had the tumbleweeds and shit. And the shit wasn't printed on the belt. The shit was branded on the belt. And she beat the shit out of me with that right there. And I said, you know what? I was not put on this motherfucking planet to experience pain like this. So whatever the fuck it is I got to do in life, not to experience this pain ever again, I'm going to fucking do it. And look now. Behold, I mean, you know, me and my mother, we ain't Ace Boone Coon, but we together. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind her being with me, and she don't mind me being with her. You know what I mean? So that was my turning point as to what built me to be the individual that I am right now, the parent that I am right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, cool. Well, let me see. I got Zeke out there. He ain't said nothing in a minute. What's going on, Zeke? You quiet? Oh, he ain't there.
What?
All right. He ain't out there. All right, y'all. All right, so early, I wanted to take these last 20 minutes to ask this question. This is a question I wanted to ask. I've been interested in wanting to know. Does it really have to take forever to have an orgasm?
Oh, hey, I can answer that. Hey,
shit, we don't want the dead now.
We don't want that. Let me answer that one. Okay, let me tell you. Listen, I had one of my friends, freak friends, you know, mm-hmm. 20, she's just turned 20 years old last week, mm-hmm. last month, shall I say. Let me tell you something about this. Wait a minute. Let me turn it. Okay, can y'all hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I did the best what I do, and everybody know what I do best, and that's
mm-hmm.
eat pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was licking the clit, and I was playing with her G-spot. It only took 10 minutes.
Okay.
I didn't want her to do shit for me. I just want her to know that, you
right.
know, these young niggas that you messing with, she got a baby and everything, and these niggas don't, all they know is how to do is to get you pregnant. But you want to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
You tell them, bitch, you about to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled that hood up, I licked the clip with the tip of my tongue, and
okay.
I played
he,
with her
he always get every opportunity to give that description. Now my question. Every day,
yep.
I think every show that you try to make sure that you get that description in.
Well,
the
how
best
about
way
this? How about
my question?
I want to be your mute.
Does it really take that long, y'all? For you to have an orgasm, does it really take that long? I mean, a lot of girls say, you know, I run into a lot of women say, oh, it take me a good hour. You know, he need to work on it for a good hour. I'm like, damn, he don't have that much time. Shit, you got a window of opportunity. Now, if the dick can stay as high for a good hour before you get a good nut in, you good.
Not naturally.
And Mr. Brett, I ain't just talking about eating pussy. It's not all about that, okay? Basically,
well,
I'm just saying, really, does it, you know, some girls say, well, you know, I need a whole hour. I'm like, does it really take that long? That's what I want to know. Really.
If you play with a clip for an hour, that clip on your floor, right?
Yes, it will. If you play with a clip for an hour, it will get sore. You can't play with a clip that long. You put on some porn, you watch that, you try to get excited, you do what you can, But there's only so much. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just curious. Aunt, have you ever run into a situation where a girl said, "Well, it just takes me a long time to come."
Yeah, and you know my motto, man. I'm like, shit, if you don't get it within this length of this hard on, that's your problem. if you know what I'm saying, if I can give you 45 minutes to an hour and you ain't bust one, it's either, you know, hey, my dick ain't big enough for you or something else wrong with you. You know what I'm saying? I'm man enough to take whichever one it is. But I have to. You know what I'm saying?
Hey,
within that hour, I didn't bust about three times. Like, you think I'm tripping on her not getting hers? I'm finna tell this bitch to go to the doctor and see what's wrong with her. Hey, look, and on that note, I had this problem with this little ex. You know what I'm saying? Before I got with her, I'm beating pussies up. You know what I'm saying? I'm in them for hours, just killing them. I got back here, you know, I'm in my thing, I'm just... This motherfucker tells me, you know what I'm saying, we had a couple of sessions that was like 30, 40 minutes. She was like, you know what, it really don't need to be this long. I'm looking at her like, are you fucking for real? Who don't want to fuck for 30, 40 minutes? You know, an hour. What's your problem? She was like, nigga, look here, we can fucking spurts. You know what I'm saying? Good 20 minutes, 30 minutes is good. And I'm trying to figure out, I probably talked myself up out of this, out the pussy too. Because I'm thinking like, man, you need to tell me if this dick ain't doing you right. You know what I'm saying? I can handle that. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, she wouldn't let me actually throw the legs already all the way back. She wouldn't let me, like, just get it, hit it. I'm like, what's the business? But. Mm-hmm. That's how she really was. She was like, nigga, I'm good with 20, 30 minutes.
Damn.
I'm going to get mine. Let me, you know, you do your thing, hit it from the back, hit it missionary side. Just let me get on top and I'm good. And I ain't want to believe that for a little while, but that's what it was. Shit.
Right. You know what, you know what that was, right? You know she used the shit out your ass.
Yeah.
She used you for a good ass ride.
Yeah, that's cool. I needed her too, so we both.
You need her too.
Yeah. I just, the only problem is y'all know me. I just wanted a little longer. That's all. But it was cool.
Dr. Passion.
What's going on, Miss Pimperet?
We ain't had no pussy boots.
Okay, but
why is he looking for that nigga, man?
Okay, I mean, what is the problem?
I want to see what Mel got to say.
Mel not even on tonight.
Oh.
Yeah, hey. I mean, is it okay? Are you feeling lonely, lost? Are you not enjoying our company?
Right.
I definitely am.
Send
a shout out to Mel. Let her know we all love and hope she's doing well.
Yeah. Yes. Shout out to Mel. We love you. Hope you're doing well, girl. Call in. Hit us up.
She good. She good. I talked to her earlier.
Oh, all right. That's what's up. That's what's up. All right. So for the end of the year, for the end of the show, any inspiration y'all would like to give to the freaks out there and the lawless family, or just in the world, what's your tip for today? Mississippi Red, you got a tip for today?
Yes, ma'am. Everybody keep your head up. School it on straight. Don't do no ignorant shit. Get it out of there.
Hey, I like that. Aunt, you got a tip for today?
My tip for the day is, life ain't that hard. If you do it right, it's the right way. I don't know, shit. Listen to your parents, goddammit. They were there before you. So.
They were there before you. Listen to your parents.
Yeah.
Listen to your parents. But you know what? Let me, I'm gonna add something in just a minute. But what's your tip for the day?
It's as simple as this. Keep the positivity flowing. Keep it flowing. But always remember, keep it in the back of your mind that the Negro still is not free. And keep it rolling. Keep it rolling. Keep it growing, man.
The Negro is still not free.
That's right. Martin Luther King.
Yeah. But you know
I see I'm legal, my man. I see I'm legal.
Malcolm.
Malcolm.
Just run it on that. All right, you know what? Let me run something by you. And it's interesting because I always listen to my kids. You know, my kids, they have some interesting things that come out their mouth lately. And one day, our twins were talking about the fact of Christmas. And one said, "Mommy, I want to celebrate Hanukkah." And the other one, the very outspoken one that likes to talk back, said, "You not Jewish, you can't celebrate Hanukkah. So figure something else out." Okay. Then the other one said, "Well, you can celebrate Kwanzaa." So here comes the other one comes back and say, "Well, you know, I don't want to celebrate Kwanzaa because I don't get no Christmas gifts." So they having all these conversations. And then here comes the oldest one, which just totally shocks me. The oldest one said, "While y'all sitting here worrying about Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, you see there's no presents under the tree, so you better be lucky if you get anything."
Hey, mute that nigga when he start laughing, man.
So I looked at him and I said, "Wow, that came out your mouth." But he was dead serious, man. He had a look like, "I don't know why y'all talking like this."
that goes back to the conversation that Evan and I had about being grateful for shit. You know what I'm saying? One day he was upset because the cable was off. I said, "Just be grateful that you have a fucking TV. You need to stop, look at the little shit, and be grateful for it." Mm-hmm. So what's the cable off? You still got a DVD on your goddamn TV. Be grateful for that.
Right.
Hey, you know what? Hey, I hear your knowledge and everything and that, but I'm like, fuck that.
Something about.
Y'all got so dependent on cable, you don't even know what to do.
Right.
Uh-huh.
You got so dependent on cable.
Hey, who want to watch a movie when they got to watch a movie? You know what I'm saying?
Hey, anything on a blank ass TV screen is great when you ain't got cable.
And we have cable.
Yeah. Hey, look, got the passion.
What's going on, Mr. Brett?
It's my Donnie Double Dip time.
You know
what? You gotta get it hot before you get away.
Man, you know.
I hate this nigga laugh.
Man. You know what the thing is? Y'all start catching on to that shit and everybody start laughing like the motherfucker. I took him off mute and this motherfucker still laughing.
Oh, no, man.
Damn.
Hi. Hello, 1, 2, 3.
That's crazy.
Man. You know what, y'all? I appreciate y'all. I do. I really do. And I'm with Buck. Y'all got to stay positive. I'm telling you, it is nothing but having a positive outlook, just everything. Because you know what? People will deal you a shit sandwich. And if you don't know what a shit sandwich is, let me explain it to you. Is when you talk to somebody and say, "Hey, how you doing?" But you know, "Hey, what's going on with you? How you doing today? That shirt you got on, it don't work for you. But you know what? It does fit you very well. That is a shit sandwich." So when motherfuckers start giving you a shit sandwich on things that you do with yourself and how they want to act, you need to go on about their business and just ignore it. So you got to stay as positive as possible as you can. I appreciate y'all. Always, you got to get it hot before you get it wet. And just for Mississippi Red, I'm going to end the show with some Donnie Williams running. But appreciate you. And Zeke, Puss in Boots, y'all. And Mississippi Red, y'all have a fabulous evening. And I also see I have some California love out there. I thank you, y'all. Y'all have a great night. I'll talk to y'all next Thursday.
What up, girl? I know who you are. I know who that is.
You know who that is?
I know who that is.
We have some California love out there tonight. All right, y'all. This is Catrice. You have been listening to The Raw Deal right here on Lawless Radio. This is Running by Donnie Williams. Y'all have a good night.
Keep on.
Always, I'm out. Night, night.